Right now, I'm very happy to introduce our next guest. That's Bo Hodai. He's a freelance investigative journalist and publisher of DBA Press, an online news publication and source archive. Bo's most recent and groundbreaking article is titled "Publicopoly Exposed: How the American Legislative Council, known as ALEC, the Koch brothers, and their corporate allies plan to privatize government," which is published in the current issue of In These Times magazine. That's inthesetimes.com. Bo, thanks for coming to the program tonight.
Thank you very much for having me, Scott.
So, Bo, we'll start out by, you know, dealing with what most of our listeners are very well aware of, and that is that there has been a major confrontation between the Republican governor and the Republican-controlled legislature in Wisconsin, and the same thing holds true in Ohio, Florida, and Tennessee, and some other states, where we've seen very similar legislation being proposed that would weaken and defund public sector labor unions. The rationale is the debt crisis of these state governments and the necessary cutbacks. But there is a political motivation there that's very apparent to anyone following these individual statewide fights. Now, your article deals with the commonality of an organization called ALEC. That's in the title of your article, the American Legislative Council. So take us from the individual fights we've seen unfold since the November elections from Republican-controlled states, and this organization, ALEC. What's the common denominator?
Well, you could say that the common denominator is, when comparing the current fights now to the colorful election year we had last year, the common factor is the Koch brothers and the myriad think tanks that they fund through Koch Industries and corporations controlled by Koch Industries. And of course, among those you have Americans for Prosperity and Freedom Works, who are most visibly instrumental in the great super GOP coup of 2010. And what you see now is much of the so-called model legislation generated by ALEC members and disseminated through ALEC is being advanced also by these same think tanks, which are part of ALEC. A large amount of what we've seen has been, especially in the area of budget reform and state employee job cuts, collective bargaining stuff, that has been advanced by certainly been advanced by Koch brothers funded think tanks through ALEC.
And so trace for us, if you would, because I know you followed quite closely the situation as it unfolded in Florida, where you zeroed in on a particular Republican state legislature,
right,
and discovered really how the model legislation came into his hands in the Republican leadership in the Florida state legislature. If you could just maybe walk us through what you found out with requests for information from these state officials.
Well, what I was looking at in Florida was HB 1021 that was sponsored by Representative Chris Dorworth. And the reason why I went after HB 1021 is because I realized it was similar to bills that had popped up throughout the nation. And the aim of the bill was to basically limit the dues-collecting ability of public employee unions and to further restrict the use of dues gathered by those unions for any sort of political activity. So it was clearly aimed at limiting the political viability of public employee unions, which, of course, has been a really common thing that we've seen here lately. And I zeroed in on Dorworth's office simply because I had been working on other stories in Florida and I was pretty familiar with what was going on. But anyways, I submitted a public records request basically asking for any pieces of model legislation that had been influential in the formation of HB 1021 because I suspected that ALEC was behind it. Dorworth's office pretty much immediately, it was within minutes of submitting my public records request, denied that there were any such documents. Then lo and behold, I get the public records request material back and there was a federally bundled package of ALEC model legislation labeled Paycheck Protection. And it was, it consisted of three pieces of model legislation, and the aim of each was essentially to limit the political viability of primarily public employee unions. That bill, as was revealed through other documents that were returned to me from that request, HB 21 had been drafted by the Florida Chamber of Commerce's then top lobbyist, who was Adam Babington. He had evidently based his draft on this ALEC Paycheck Protection model legislation. And, you know, of course, it's very interesting because the Florida Chamber of Commerce has no state agencies as members, and it does not represent public employee unions in any way. So you got to wonder why they would be so concerned with protecting the paychecks of public employees. And then, you know, patterns started to emerge as I delved into public records information in other states. And what it seemed was that these bills were being accompanied by bills that pretty much compelled privatization of state agency functions. And, of course, the political activity or the lobbying, the opposition posed by public employee unions is the most formidable opponent that those that seek to privatize state functions has or have. So it seemed to me that that's what they were trying to do, is they were trying to basically take away the, disempower the watchdog, I guess you could say, in these unions, so that they could basically implement a larger plan of wholesale privatization. And that's certainly been borne out in the model legislation that I subsequently uncovered.
Bo, tell us a little bit about ALEC, the American Legislative Council, the group that's been taking Koch brothers' money and disseminating these pieces of anti-union model legislation around the country. What are their larger goals? How much money do they have, and how much success have they had this past year?
Well, it's pretty interesting, you know, because they're a 501c3 not-for-profit organization, but annually, in recent years at least, they managed to pull in about, you know, somewhere between $6 and $7 million in revenue, so they got a pretty good not-for-profit going. And the way ALEC is set up is what it does is it builds itself as the nation's largest public-private legislative partnership. So you basically have two sides of the House. You have the public sector side and the private sector side. The public sector side is composed of member lawmakers. And generally the numbers that you hear reported from ALEC range around, 2,000 of these state-level lawmakers. And they claim to be bipartisan, but public records request material that I've gotten that actually illustrates who the members are show that it's overwhelmingly Republican. Then on the private sector side, you have, again, based on what ALEC will disclose, about 250 member organizations, special interest groups, and think tanks. And these think tanks are, in large part, I think overwhelmingly is a fair term to use, they're overwhelmingly Koch-funded. You have, like the Cato Institute, which is an offshoot of the Charles Koch Foundation. You have the James Madison Institute, which is also funded by the Charles Koch Foundation. You've got Americans for Prosperity, FreedomWorks, or actually I'm not sure if FreedomWorks themselves is a part of it, but you have also the Reason Foundation on whose board David Koch sits as a board member. Then as far as corporations go, you have many, many different types of corporations. You have people in the telecommunications field, such as Verizon, AT&T. You have a whole host of pharmaceutical giants. You have also petrochemical giants such as Koch Industries and ExxonMobil, and a bunch of different trade organizations as well, such as the American Bail Coalition, which is comprised of the top bail bonds providers, and they're essentially also bounty hunters, and so. Basically, the way it works within ALEC is then you have nine task forces, and these task forces address every aspect of the public over, you know, the public spectrum. So you have everything from education to environment. And on these task forces sit corporate representatives of the member private sector, the members in the private sector. And then you also have member lawmakers from the public sector who sit on the task forces. And what will happen is either somebody in the private sector or the public sector will introduce what they call a piece of model legislation to the task force. It must then be approved by the task force. And according to what I had been previously told by an ALEC employee before ALEC stopped talking to me entirely, was that every piece of model legislation goes through about a 30-day review process, during which time it may be amended by whoever in the task force, then, you know, there's a vote taken on it. And then after the review process, if it's approved, it's then passed on to other ALEC member lawmakers who then, you know, you could say dutifully carry it back to their home states for introduction. Because the fact of the matter is, a lot of these corporate members of ALEC are also prominent campaign contributors. So they carry it back. They try to get these pieces of model legislation introduced in our real legislatures as real laws, which we then, as their constituents, must live with. That's basically the long and short of it.
Thanks for that summary, Bo. Now, just state again for our audience, as you look at ALEC and their operation, their goal, as you see it in this article, was to privatize much of the operations of local and state governments in terms of public education as one element, healthcare regulation, environmental regulation. These folks really wanted to just privatize everything in sight.
Part of the ALEC model legislation canon of privatization bills are three or four bills which call for the creation of councils on, you could just paraphrase and say they're councils on privatization. And the powers of these councils varies depending on what bill you're talking about. But the end goal is basically that you have a council that assesses the functions of state government. And then you say, well, this could be privatized. There's somebody in the private sector who's providing this service. And there's actually the Public-Private Fair Competition Act actually states that if a good or service is being found provided by a state agency that is also being provided by a private vendor, the state must outsource that good or service. So it really is compulsory, and you look at what's happened in basically since 2009 when such councils have appeared, and you have Arizona and Louisiana and New Jersey are three examples, and they've basically called for the privatization of everything from state-operated rest stops to parks to medical care bill collection. The private prison industry is a very big one. Corrections Corporation of America is a long-time ALEC member of high standing, I guess you could say. So it really is. A good term for it is wholesale privatization. So you read the reports that these councils in existence have come up with. You're talking about a lot of things in great detail.
Right. Bo Hodai is our guest, freelance investigative journalist and publisher of DBA Press, an online news publication and source archive. And Bo is here talking about his most recent article, breaking the story of ALEC, the group we've been talking about, the Koch brothers funded group, in the article titled Publicopoly Exposed, How the American Legislative Council, or ALEC, the Koch brothers and their corporate allies plan to privatize government. Bo, as you say in the article, ALEC is a 501c3 nonprofit corporation which has limitations on lobbying state legislatures to make laws. Have they violated their 501c3 nonprofit charter?
Well, it certainly seems to be a question a lot of people are interested in these days. ALEC has sort of danced around that one a bit since mid to late last year when the whole deal with them and SB 1070 came out. They claim that what they are doing is not lobbying, but rather what it is that they're, you know, they're concerned citizens and they're passing on, it, you know, I guess what is tantamount essentially to advice to lawmakers to help them out. And also they point out that ALEC itself does not lobby because it's a small staff of only 30 people, and you know, that I don't believe is true, because you look at the public records request material that I've gotten and I've since archived on DBA Press from Ohio, Florida, and in Wisconsin, and a lot of that is still being archived and released, but you look at what they do, and they do certainly pass on bundles of model legislation to lawmakers and say, hey, are you interested in this? This is in keeping with whatever initiative that's being pushed at whatever time by whatever member of whatever task force. You know, they certainly do advance these things, which I think in most definitions would be lobbying. So that's certainly something. And 501c3 tax, or I guess the tax code, which lays out what a 501c3 can and cannot do, it explicitly states that a 501c3 cannot engage in the formation of legislation. So that certainly is troubling. And, you know, there's a lot of fancy footwork involved, because if you look at lobbying reports in states where there is a little bit more lobbying oversight and reporting requirements, you look at what, say, the ALEC private sector chair in a state is doing, and you'll notice that, say, for example, in Arizona, where I was looking at, they actually have pretty good lobbying reporting in Arizona. So I was looking at what the state private sector chair there, Russell Smolden, who is a lobbyist for the Salt River Project, which is a utilities provider, what he was doing. And you see he's registered as a lobbyist for the Salt River Project, not for ALEC, but you look at what he's doing, and he's spending hundreds, if not thousands of dollars, buying three meals a day for ALEC member lawmakers at ALEC functions, where they're being lobbied on issues that are near and dear to the heart of other ALEC corporate members. And ultimately, the goal is to get them to take home ALEC model legislation drafted by these members or whoever else and introduce it in their own legislature. I'd say it certainly sounds like lobbying, but they're pretty good at, I guess, sort of farming out things. Because the private sector members and the private sector chairs aren't necessarily ALEC. And if you look at the way they've set themselves up within tax code and the way they report certain funds like the scholarship fund and things like that, they've basically set themselves up as a shell entity, where it is essentially a shell entity that is controlled by its donors, who are by and large these corporate entities. So it's actually very interesting the way they set it up. And I just released a longer article as a companion to the Publicopoly article on DBA Press, explaining how all that works in their sort of fancy footwork. It's called legislative laundry. It's on the site if anybody's interested.
Yeah, we'll give the websites out in a moment. We don't have much time left. Bo Hodai, I just wanted to ask you this. Are there any investigations that are going on as a result of your article? Have there been calls for any investigations of ALEC and their activities in lobbying as a 501c3 all over the country?
Well, in November, I had written an article outlining ALEC's involvement in the dissemination of SB 1070-like legislation last year. And so late last year, a group in Arizona, the American Friends Service Committee, did call for an investigation based on those findings. They basically got no play from the Office of the Attorney General or the Office of the Secretary of State Division of Elections. you know, they're sort of condescended to, I would say, especially by the Division of Elections. And it was all very interesting the way they played out. And it went nowhere. And now, I wouldn't say it's a result of any work that I've done, but it's a result of work many people have done. Common Cause has called for a IRS inquiry or audit into, you know, how ALEC keeps its books and how they justify what they do. And, you know, it'd be interesting to see if that one goes anywhere.
Well, Bo, we've run out of time here, but certainly there is a battle royale going on across these states where the Republicans swept to power in the November 2010 election. And, you know, it's certainly an important fight, and it will determine the role of working people and their unions in, you know, determining their own fates as employees and citizens. And unions certainly gained power through many hard-fought struggles in the 1930s in this country. People were killed in that process. A lot of folks forget that. But we're seeing a second stage of that war against unions right now, and ALEC seems to be at the forefront of it, a very stealthy organization that, thankfully, you revealed in this extensive article. So before we go here, Bo, as you mentioned, please give out the websites where we can get these articles and some of the extended documentation that you're now posting online.
Sure. There's actually a expanded version of the In These Times article that was published simultaneously on DBA Press. It's just dbapress.com, and it's the main feature story. And the companion article to that, which is, you know, easy to find because it's linked right at the top, is called Legislative Laundry, and that explains all of basically their fancy reporting of these things under their 501c3 status, and that's all at dbapress.com.
So dbapress.com, and then also inthesetimes.com for the Publicopoly Exposed article as
right.
Well, right? Well, thanks for all your hard work on this, and congratulations on a groundbreaking piece. We hope we can keep track of this story with you as the weeks go by. So,
yeah, hopefully the story lasts for the week.
We hope so. It certainly deserves to. And, you know, new things happen. We'd love to have you back.
Thank you.
All right. Bo, take care.
Yep, have a good one.
Bye-bye. That's Bo Hodai, freelance investigative journalist and publisher of DBA Press, an online news publication and source archive. Again, the article we're talking about deals with this Koch Brothers-funded organization that sends out model legislation to bust unions, take away their collective bargaining rights, and all the other things we've seen unfold in places like Wisconsin and Ohio. That name of the article is Publicopoly Exposed, How the American Legislative Council, or ALEC, the Koch Brothers, and their corporate allies plan to privatize government.